Okay, we're here with Cliff Blazinski at Epic Games here in... Is this Cary, North
Actually,
Carolina?
It's in Raleigh.
It's kind of Raleigh. Everyone
it's
says
right.
Cary.
Cary's like spitting distance down the road.
Yeah, so. I've seen a lot of people out there spitting.
they spit on Cary. Cary's not bad. Raleigh's not bad. It's
yeah.
a nice place. 80 degrees today in the middle of November.
Yeah,
so I can't
not half bad, no.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we're trying to talk with all you about little bits and pieces of Unreal Tournament, which was basically released over the weekend here and is making its way
trickling
out to the stores, and I guess
showing up in a few stores already. So.
Yeah, and some people had it shipped direct from GT. I got some emails over the weekend.
Are those the Voodoo 3 people? Or?
No, those are some of the people who ordered it through the GT store.
I hope the Voodoo 3 people get it soon.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Got a lot of emails about that. Hey, when are we getting our Unreal tournament?
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
We're getting an answer out of GT right now. Like,
yeah.
When were you planning on shipping that?
Oh, how is that noose out there, by the way?
Noose?
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Never mind. And yeah, Cliff has his really super cool, very heavy Unreal tournament medallion on here.
Usually, when I want to work out my neck.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Actually, you've gotten pretty ripped there. I can see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the game types in Unreal Tournament and some of the new fun people get to experience
here. At the end of the day, I love the new game types, but I love just going back and working on my deathmatch skills. But then, once you get a few people on a server who are pretty good and know how to play the game types, it's very, very exciting. Just playing some Capture the Flag, and there's one of the maps I did, Gauntlet, which I was worried about being too small online. I mean, we had a lot of people in there. It was fast-paced, and there was enough room where you could capture, and it worked out pretty well. I'm pretty happy with that. But, if you're going to be designing the maps for the various game types, there's so much that goes into it. I should actually write a document on this and like have it uploaded to some of the editing websites. But deathmatch, your major concern there is connectivity, making sure that you can get around the map very quickly and easily, and another reason that's important is because if somebody's on your tail, you want to be able to lose them quickly. You don't want them to completely be able to predict where you're going to go every time. It takes the spontaneity out of it.
Sure.
And then you got to make sure that if you spend all the time building all this architecture, you have to put desirable items in basically all four corners of the map, so that players traverse the whole map and they run their little patterns, and then you get a good flow going on, and then balance it with enough health and enough ammo, and it's a lot of it. I mean, you could probably make a chart to graph how it should work, but a lot of it also is just feel, depending on what you do with your architecture and everything.
Yeah, I know. I really hate maps where you walk in and there's this big pile of weapons over here and there's a big pile of health over here, and
seriously,
it's like, why bother?
Yeah, I'm going to find a good analogy for it, but there's it's if you're doing traditional deathmatch shooter type game and you have something where you have resources that you pick up and they respawn and you run around and kill each other, then generally, I mean, you got to put a lot of thought into where you put everything. And I mean, if you make something that's a real world location, like a parking lot or something, that may not necessarily be the best deathmatch map. You want different levels for players to shoot at each other. Laser tag arenas are set up, or paintball arenas or something. I mean, there's a lot of strategy there. So.
There's some guys out there doing really good work making sure they have X, Y, and Z axis fun going on within a match. And then if you can lay that out right, that it becomes a really great time.
Well, it's really, really important to recognize the difference between a fun map and when you're just having fun with the deathmatch.
Yeah.
Because if the deathmatch is fun, then you can build a freaking box and jump around and blow each other up and have a good time.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean the map's any good.
No.
Again, I mean, you got to make sure you don't get hung up on stuff. There's going to be stuff to get behind so that if you're getting shot at, you can get cover. I mean, all sorts of things with that. I don't like having to backtrack. Once I have to go all the way over to a wing, I hate having to turn around and walk the same way back. I mean, you want to constantly be going into new areas instead of turning around and retreating. I mean, I'm actually doing a talk on it at the Game Developer Conference in 1999. Actually, it's 2000. And that's out in San Jose, and that's www.gdconf.com, gdconf.com.
Cool.
So
that'll be interesting to hear. So that's a little bit about straight deathmatch. How does it change, though, when you're looking at designing maps, when you're getting into something, well, let's go to the other end of the scale, maybe, which would be Assault, where you really have a lot of balance issues to deal with.
Well, Steve knew he wanted to do Assault, and he started working on this product, and... And I was a little skeptical at the beginning because it really seemed like one of the more complex game types, and I had some concerns about how we make the AI work with it and how to make it fun and make it all work. And we really beat the hell out of it until we got into great shape and as the great game type that it is today. And I mean, a lot of people were kind of disappointed that it wasn't in the demo and everything, but I mean, what do you, the ideal demo for everybody would be the entire freaking game, and then they'd be satisfied. So,
exactly.
If people are bitching about your demo being too small, then that means you've probably put the right amount in there, so that means they're hungering for more.
Yeah, I don't know too many people who weren't asking, gee, we need assault, please give me an assault map, you know?
I mean,
so that's good.
People want to see it, you know, it gives them something to really look forward to with the full version. I mean, everybody likes the flat cannon, so that's something we held off from. But anyway, as far as assault map design, I mean, generally, assault is the overall design is a linear progression from point A to point B, you know, along the way there's subpoints, you know, where you have to maybe cross a bridge as a goal or unlock a door or, you know, blow up some sort of chains that will open another gate or something. And there's usually maybe a couple paths that go to those sub objectives. And you have to set up these little fourth standards for the bots to use, and then you have to give them priorities. And then around the fourth standards, you actually add in defense points where the bots will camp out to snipe at the players who are coming in. And, you know, within all that, you have to make sure your path nodes are set up very well. And, I mean, the level designer spent a lot of time tweaking those things to make sure the bots worked the exact way they wanted to. And I really prefer the method that we use of manual path noting as opposed to the AI doing it on the fly, because, I mean, as a map designer, I find that I know where the best spots on the map are for camping and for, you know, impact hammer jumping or translocating or whatever, and I want to define that. You know, from playing hours and hours of it, I think I've figured it out. And you know, the AI running through there in 5 minutes trying to automatically navigate, I don't think it's necessarily going to do that good of a job in our maps. And again, with Assault, we found that in testing we had to make sure that there weren't like little cheats you could do to like skip entire sections, and that's one of the reasons you'll notice that the translocator isn't enabled by default in Assault, because then you can just translocate like through a window or something and just...
Bing, you're done.
Exactly.
Right.
And as is, I mean, if a team... Depending on how good an attacking team is, I mean, you can beat an assault map in like a couple minutes and before you switch sides. And I mean, I think it's completely possible that when you get some really good clan matches going on out there, you're going to have people who play the game for like, you know, like hours on end attacking and defending, and nobody's gonna, I mean, they'd be so good at attacking or defending that you have to take a little bit of luck to get in there. So
yeah. One nice little piece in assault is the fact that once you attack and say you get the base in 3 minutes and 53 seconds, now it's your turn. You have to defend for that long, and that's like a cruel hoax.
There's pressure to assault the base as fast as you can, because then, you know, if you do assault the base in, you know, a minute, then you only have a minute to defend it.
Exactly.
You know? So there's incentive to do it quickly. And I mean, one of the things about our assault maps is that there's such varied sides with them. I mean, we have some that you could play with, you know, just a 2-on-2 or a 4-on-4. I mean, I've even tried like 1-on-1 assault against bots, or with you can do that with domination as well. It's very, very interesting seeing what's going on, you know, like knowing that somebody else is controlling points. But and then, you know, we have the larger assault maps where you can full on get you know, 8-on-8 players, and it's like armies going against each other. Well, small armies, albeit.
I was watching Jack in there as he was demonstrating assault for us, and he was sending in his crew. They were all getting destroyed, beat up, and then Jack would just kind of walk up underneath.
Well, you got to really know how to use the orders menu, and that's something that we think is pretty important that we put in there, because you, if you know how to use it, what you do in the single player ladder is you have the bots cover you, and you get up and get loaded and get to a good point where you know the bad guys are going to be around the corner, and you order all your bots in, and then, you know, they'll take out a lot of the guys. A lot of them will get killed, but, you know, you just come in behind them and pick off the scraps, and you can use that against the godlike bots, and as a really good strategy. And it's a really good interface for ordering. I mean, you know, you just hold down the button, click, and I mean, if you want to bind it and do more of a tribes like thing, you can as well. I think it turned out pretty well. But I mean, assault is the toughest game type to map for, but it can be the most rewarding. So
you had mentioned about manual path noting versus the AI and getting the bots to do what you want. What's been added to the noting compared to Unreal 1? I mean, what's new about this that enhances your ability to make bots do what you want them to do?
The basic path noting is the same as Unreal 1, but what Steve's done is he's gone in and he's tweaked a lot of the way the bots move from point to point. You know, they'll strafe a lot more and they'll dodge a lot better and move a lot more realistically, as opposed to just going point, you know, straight to the next point, and looking robotic. It's a lot more natural. They're better at jumping around and dodging. They know how to use the various weapons in each situation. If you actually get up close to a bot, he'll switch to the flat cannon or the impact hammer and try and get you with that. You know, you're far away, he'll use, like, you know, the shock rifle or the sniper rifle. And Steve's also added a bunch of great options, such as being able to specify where the bots can translocate to, where they can impact jump, defense points where you can specify even, like, a sniping radius. So we were actually able to get the bots to work on the towers in that CTF face map. I don't know if you played that one.
Yeah, we saw that.
Asteroid, yeah. They'll actually, the bots will go up to the top and snipe. I mean, you know, that must be like 400 yards down to the bottom there. And you'll be playing single player and be like, what the hell? What just, you know,
where's it coming from?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. And that wasn't, it's not any accident. I mean, that's, you know, and if the automatic AI had, you know, if we had an automatic AI, you know, I don't know if they would have done that. You know, they may have picked some sort of corner of the asteroid to try and do that off, and it wouldn't have been as convincing, you know.
Yeah.
And as a level designer, I know that, you know, placing those points and knowing that that's where the humans are going to go normally when they play, it helps enhance the believability of them, so.
So what's your favorite weapon that you're using these days?
Right now it's the flat cannon.
Yeah, it's pretty sharp. I like the flaming hot nature of the shards now. It's really cool.
You feel like they're really tearing into somebody with the sound effects. We've really tweaked a lot of the sounds as well. I mean, in addition to, you know, revamping a lot of matting, all sorts of new screams and jib sounds and everything, the volume's been tweaked. So when you blow somebody up, I mean, you hear a yell, but you also hear like this, I mean, just total squashing sound. It's very, very gratifying. I mean, there's no doubt that you've just blew one of your enemies to bits. It's very entertaining.
Tactile feedback.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, you got to have, you know, the animation synced up to your weapons. I mean, you got to have footsteps. I mean, it's all about, you know, conveying this feel to the player. And that's one of the things that was lacking a lot of in Unreal 1 that we kind of dropped the ball on is, you know, not having, if in the spots that we had sounds and they weren't necessarily that very, very good. You know, they weren't very loud, or you couldn't really see people or hear them screaming. I mean, you know, for all the strengths that were in Unreal 1, it certainly had a sharp.
Well, it was pretty immersive, Unreal 1, especially when it first came out, and there was really nothing like it around, you know, that matched up to it. But now that I've, you know, seen and played Unreal Tournament, it's just night and day.
Well, there's really something to be said for the whole multiplayer themed game, and I've actually to some extent enjoyed working on UT more than Unreal because the replayability factor is so much better in Unreal Tournament. Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you go in and play against the bot the single player ladder, and it's not the same exact thing. You know, it's not like there's the scar coming out of the same thing with the same lights turning off every time. Or, I mean, you know, sure, items may respawn in the same spots, but, you know, you don't know when it'll respawn, you don't know what the AI is going to do, and then when you play the team games, you don't know how, I mean, you know, you can order your guys differently. I mean, there's so many options with it, and then you add the mutators in there, and, I mean, you're really increasing the level of variety that you get. You know, you can play, like, you know, Insta-Jib, Fat Boy, Capture the Flag. And then you can play, like, you know, play that one-on-one, or if you want to, you can even set it up so that, like, you know, it's you against four bots. I mean, the infinite replayability there, and on or offline, and it's to that end makes it more fun to test for me. And I mean, you know, the whole linear single player game is fun. I mean, you know, I just played a Half-Life Opposing Force, and it was awesome, but. I mean, once I beat it, I mean, it's kind of like, do I really want to, I mean, you know, I might play the multiplayer, but do I really want to, you know, go through that single player again? I mean, it's fun as hell, but it's also, you know, you really feel like you're questing and accomplishing a big goal here, and when you're done, you feel tired. I mean, some work for your ass, so that's the way some of Unreal 1 single player was. I mean,
yeah.
You feel like you're making this trek, you know,
yeah.
So... And multiplayer, you're just jumping in, having fun. And it's kind of an old-school arcade mentality, you know, like being able to just jump in and have Pac-Man go around the maze a little bit, avoid some ghosts, eat some ghosts, and, you know, play again later maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Replayability there.
Yeah, a lot of people are forgetting about the single-player ladder and that whole aspect of playing Unreal Tournament.
Well,
because, you know,
really, really important for us to make sure that that was in there and make sure the bots played. Like, if we put something in there, Steve wanted to make sure the bots knew how to play it. Otherwise, we didn't want to put it in.
Right.
Because, you know, people would try it offline and they'd see that the bots couldn't handle something and they'd be like, why is this in the game? You know, it's not supported by the AI. So everything that you see in there is supported by the AI. And it was some work getting it all working, man. But I think it turned out really well. And I think, you know, you're going to have people out there who don't have an internet connection and hopefully buy the game or, you know, get an OEM and totally dig it and get into it. And then, you know, later they're like, you know, they have their computer savvy buddy, and he's like, yeah, I play that game online all the time against my friends. Like, you can play it online? No way. I just got this at the Walmart.
Well, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be just slapping that CD and booting up and going right online with the server browser and
some people
and see
might,
how they match
but
up.
But I can tell you, you know, when I play a first-person shooter, I like to be able to play offline first and kind of get to know it, because
sure.
I don't like losing. I don't know about you, but I hate sucking and I hate losing.
I can't help it, Cliff. I'm really lame online. Although I have to tell you, I did beat Alan out here in the Dreamcast game.
Oh, really?
And he was trying, unlike Brandon, who let me win once.
But so. When I play against like my fiance in like an Unreal Tournament deathmatch or any arcade game or whatever, I will let her win once in a while because people hate losing. And if you just destroy somebody the whole time, they're just going to be like, screw you. You know, you're a winner at this game, but you know.
Well, there are three guys here who all told me pretty much the same thing. They get tired of losing to you, and it's made them a better player.
Well, see, that's
playing
the thing
against
is,
you,
they,
which is great.
It does. It makes you better. The reason I'm pretty good is because I used to get my ass handed to be my Misha while he was
sure.
here, and then eventually got to the point where you know about half the time I could beat Misha. Well, maybe less. You know, if he hears this, he's going to give me shit. But I mean, he was really good. And I mean, the first time for the first year or two when I played him, I got my butt stomped, and then eventually I started getting better and better. And that's the only one of the only ways to get better. And that. But, I mean, nobody really has the patience to do that against a live human opponent.
Sure.
Because there's that peer thing, you know, and unless the guy is really, really nice and doesn't, you know, tease you about it, the chances are you're not going to want to do it, and that's where the AI comes in.
Yeah, there's a great flexibility with the bots as far as...
Just crank it up a notch, you know.
One notch at a time.
It's like weightlifting, you know. Not that I, you know, weightlift much, in case you...
Well, notice. Except your neck there.
Yeah, with the necklace. But, I mean, you know, you do a little better, you start doing a little more weight, you know, you keep cranking it up, eventually, you're pressing 350, you know, and you're whipping ass in some godlike box, you know, so. But nobody around here will play with me anymore, it kind of depresses me. So I have to go online and talk smack to all the people on there.
Okay. Well, Cliff, thanks a lot. One last question, where do you go from here? I mean, Unreal Tournament's out, it's trickling down to the stores now, and, you taking a slight break here, or are we going to be looking at bug fixes, or hopefully we don't have many?
Hopefully, one of the key things is if there are bugs that we don't want to break network compatibility.
Right.
And it's very, very, and it's going to it would have to be a really big issue to come up for us to break network compatibility. We're going to try to not do that because it splinters your community. I mean, you know, you get servers running like version 400 and ones.
Sure.
We got some stuff we're working on for potential product coming up. You know, who knows what we'll do with it? You know, maybe an add-on or something like that. Or it could just wind up being, you know, R&D. Who knows? After that, I mean, well, in the meantime, I mean, I'm enjoying having time to play games. I mean, I got an Asheron's Call. You know, Opposing Force, playing through Wheel of Time. Looking forward to playing Quake 3 because I've been playing Unreal Tournament for damn near a year and a half now, and I'd like to play another deathmatch game.
Yeah.
Just any other games I get my hand on. And, I mean, it's, you know, you can't work on games and be a game designer if you don't play games, right?
Sure, you got to see what's going on.
Exactly.
And get ideas.
It gives you perspective because
you
may have some fabulous idea of this game you want to do, but it could already be out there. I mean, how are you going to know? And then, you know, what we do next, the design will influence the technology, and the technology will influence the design. You know, it's a trade-off back and forth. You know, Tim will program something. We'll see what we can do with it. You know, we'll do what we want. You know, what the team will do what it wants to do with the technology, and then Tim will, you know, adapt the technology to what the team wants to do. I mean, it's a trade-off there. As far as what it's going to be, though, I mean, it'll probably be futuristic. It'll probably have guns, and that's basically all I know. Right?
Futuristic guns and...
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not going to come out and all of a sudden do, like, a third-person, you know, hack and slash. I mean, you know, it's... I mean, that's... Sure, those games are cool for some people, but it's really not our bag.
With how quickly these games evolve, I mean, just looking at... just look at the straight linear progression there with Doom and Quake 2 and all this stuff, and Unreal and Unreal Tournament, the big difference in those two games. Unreal Tournament has evolved to the point now where, you know, you've got a good couple of years in here with that technology where it's not going to get boring to people. You know, you may come out with something new in the meantime, something new and exciting, maybe with more depth than a straight deathmatch or something like that. But it's nice with the open architecture of Unreal Tournament where people can just go in there, grab what they need, use it with a mutator, go in and play around with the classes.
Keeps it fresh.
It's really going to keep it fresh. And I mean, the Unreal mapping community itself just kicked in with, you know, like 1,500 deathmatch maps.
That's
great. I can't even imagine what they're going to do with Unreal Tournament.
Well, with very little work, you know, the most of the Unreal maps will be backwards compatible.
Yeah, we saw a post on the tech page on exactly how to do that.
Yeah, from day one, I mean, you already have that many maps out there, and your user community is that big and that strong, and you have a game that you could play for 3 years in a row.
Absolutely.
Never see the same level twice.
Does that include single player games? As far as getting some of them ported over?
Absolutely. You'll probably see people making some Unreal 1 type single player maps with the Unreal Tournament weapons. I like to, you know, take a Redeemer to some Scar.
Or some Titan, Stone Titan.
I haven't tried that, actually. I should try that. Start up Unreal 1 with some of the UT weapons.
Cool.
See what happens.
Well, thanks, Cliff.
Yeah,
appreciate the talk. All right.
No problem.
Cliff Blazinski here at Epic Games in Raleigh, North Carolina.